Hey everyone, it's such a privilege to be bringing the word to you today. My name is Esther Andrew and today I'm sharing a message called What's in Your Harvest. Hope you enjoy it. So good to be here today. Who's excited for Christmas? It's only like 3 weeks away. Oh my goodness. It seems like this time of year just happens to creep up on us all of a sudden, all the time, right? But it's my favorite time of the year, and today I want to bring a message of hope to you around this Christmas time. I want to bring a message that I believe God has put on my heart for you that's going to ignite faith. For some of us, we've had the best year of our lives. I could say that for myself. It's not been without challenges, but at the end, I would say this has been the best year of my life, and I'm going to give God praise for that. But some of us sit here today and it may have been the hardest year of your life, or you may have written it off as a nothing year, but I want to encourage you today, the year's not over yet. I want to encourage you today that God is good and He's faithful, and I believe in the God of the turnaround, and I believe that if you ready your hearts, we could receive a word in season from the Lord today. Is that okay? Well, I would love to pray. Father God, we thank You. You're such a faithful God. You're such a kind God. You're a God who works in every season of our life. And today, God, we ready our ear to hear from You, God. Lord, we open up our hearts, Lord, to receive a word in season from You, Jesus. God, we lay everything out on the table before You and we ask You to move, God. Lord, those that have come in carrying illnesses and sickness, I declare today is the day of breakthrough. I declare that today is the day of healing. God, those that have come in needing a financial breakthrough, God, I declare, why not in this moment would there be a turnaround and a financial provision in everyone who needs it, life, Father. And God, we ready our hearts to draw near to You, God, because above all that You can give to us, God, we really just want You. We really just want to meet with You face to face. So God, we ask that You would do that very thing today. Would You come and sit with us? Would You come and take us by the hand, God? Would You lead us, Father? Would You do what only You can do? In Your mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to talk to you today about what's in your harvest. Everyone say, what's in your harvest? It's a great question. I want to read from Deuteronomy 28. In verse 1, it says, if you listen obediently to the voice of God, your God, and heartily obey all His commandments that I command you today, God, your God, will place you on a high, high place above all the other nations of the world. All of these blessings will come down on you and spread out on you because you have responded to the voice of God. Church, it is a powerful thing to respond to the voice of God immediately when He speaks to us. It says, if you do this, God's blessing will be inside the city, God's blessing in the country, God's blessing on your children and on the crops of your land, the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your flocks. God's blessing on your basket of bread bowl, God's blessing in your coming in, and God's blessing on your going out. God will defeat your enemies who attack you. They'll come in at you on one road and run away on seven roads. God will devour... No, that's not the right word. God will order a blessing. That's in the next part. Just wait for it. God will order a blessing on your barns and your workplaces. He'll bless you on the land that the Lord your God is giving you. God will form you as a people holy to Him, just as He promised you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and live in the way He has shown you. It's a powerful thing to live in obedience to God. Who would love a blessing like that? Blessing on your going in and your going out. Amen? But it says, here's what will happen if you don't obediently listen to the voice of your God and diligently keep the commandments and the guidelines that I am commanding you today. It says, all of these curses will come down hard on you. God's curse in the city, God's curse in the country, God's curse on your basket and your bread bowl, God's curse on your children, your crops of your land, the young of your livestock and the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. God's curse on your coming in and God's curse on your going out. It says in verse 38 that you'll plant sacks and sacks of seed, but the field will get almost nothing. The grasshoppers will devour it. You'll plant and hoe and prune vineyards, but you won't drink or put up any new wine. The worms will devour them. You'll have groves of olive trees everywhere, but you'll have no oil to rub on your face and hands, for the olives will have fallen off.
You'll have sons and daughters, but they won't be yours for long because they'll go off into captivity and locusts will take over your trees and crops. Wow. Church, what is in your harvest? And my question for you today beyond that is, what and where are you planting your seed? You see, if you were to look at the DNA of a seed, in one tiny seed, if we were to talk about an orange seed, is all the DNA that it needs to reproduce the fruit that it's come from. In the seed of an orange tree is everything that it needs, one tiny seed, to be put in the right soil, tended under the right environment to reproduce an orange tree. And who's to say that an orange tree won't grow big and strong and then reproduce more seed? You see, the impact of one seed is untraceable. And I want to ask you, what are you doing with the seed of your life today? What have you been spending 2017 investing your life into? You might sit here today and say, I put it into this and I put it into that and I bear great fruit. Or some of you might sit here and go, maybe I went a little bit wrong there and I planted some seed in some soil where God hadn't called me to plant, and I took control and did it my own way and planted some seed over here. Well, I'm here to tell you today, God's a God of the turnaround. And so if you feel like you've planted seeds in the wrong places, it's not too late to invite God, the gardener, into your situation to bring some order. You see, but in a seed, it is programmed to reproduce what it comes from. You see, for a seed to grow, it needs sunlight. It needs the right soil. But the key thing for a plant to grow is these things called roots. These roots need to go down deep into the soil so that it can collect minerals and water and transfer it all around the plant so that it can grow and then produce fruit. But you see, the thing about these roots is it's not just for nutrients and for water, although that is important. The thing about roots is when the wind comes, and this is a young plant, no matter how windy it may get, if its roots go down deep enough, that plant remains unaffected. It may get beaten and blown a little bit, but if its roots go down deep enough, it stays secure, it stays stable. It might rain and the flood waters might come, and there might be a season where the plant is pushed down, but if its root system has gone deep enough, it will grow again when it's in the right environment. And I want to ask you today, church, where is your root system? What soil have you allowed your heart to be planted into? So that when the winds and the waves of our life come, although you may feel beaten and pushed to the ground, if your roots are rooted in Jesus Christ, nothing can take you out. You may feel like you're pushed to the ground for a season, but God is a redeemer. And so if your roots go deep enough into Him at the right time, God will cause you to grow up strong again. God is a good God. He's thought it all out. So sometimes we might feel like we've been taken out and pushed out, but God says, no, 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 no. Just hang on a little bit longer and I'll show you how strong I can make you. But we must keep our roots deep in Him. You see, a human has the ability to reproduce. That's how we're all here today. One seed merges with another and the DNA of the original seed is combined and you create a new person, the mother, your mother and your father. But you see, the Bible says that we are a new creation in Christ. It says that we've been merged with Him. And now as Christians, we are a part of a new bloodline and we are a part of Jesus Christ. And just as the impact of an orange seed is untraceable, so is the impact of your life if you let it. What could the impact of your life be? That seed that you sowed in someone you knew in high school, what is the impact of that seed going to be in 20 years' time when God brings someone else along to water it? The seed you plant in your children as you're raising them and taking them to school and teaching them how to follow and love Christ, the seeds that you're sowing in your workplace, the impact of your seed is untraceable because as you sow seeds, it is going to produce fruit. It's a biblical principle. It's a principle of life as well. Life runs in seasons and cycles. And so if you follow the word of God, He is faithful to perform exactly what He sends His word to do. So I want to talk about today, where are you planting your seed? How are you planting your seed? And what are you planting in preparation for 2018? You see, the first seed I want to talk to you about today is a seed that is sown in season. Everyone say, in season. This is a seed done in obedience to God. This is like that first part of the scripture. It says when you follow the voice of God, your crops will be blessed, your children will be blessed, your sons, your daughters will be blessed, your calves will be blessed. Sowing in season in response to God's voice is leading you to God's blessing. It is setting you up for God's hand to move in your life. This is like the natural stuff that we do. You see, life is done in cycles and patterns. You know, we've got summer, autumn, winter, spring. It's predictable. We know what's coming. The same can be said with God sometimes. I love that God is in one hand predictable, and then in another hand, sometimes I have no idea what he's doing, but I know that because he's predictable, and what I mean by that is he's faithful, that when I act in obedience to God, no matter what the circumstances look like, God's predictable because I know that he's faithful, so he's going to come through for me. So every seed that you've planted in season, the seed that you've thrown out in faith, the seed that you've thrown out in an act of crazy obedience to God, maybe you felt God encourage you to give a big amount in our building offering this year. You sowed that seed in obedience to God. God is a good God. He will produce a harvest. There will be fruit that comes from that seed. You see, a little hobby I have on the side is kind of fell into my lap. I love to do wedding flowers. And so I've had the great privilege of making the bouquets for 11 of my friends' weddings this year. It has been a fruitful season in our church. But you see, some of these brides, especially some that I did in winter, wanted a particular flower, right? Every bride seems to want a peony in their bouquet. But what every bride doesn't know is that a peony really is in season for 3 weeks of the year, and that's it. Now, why is that flower in season for those 3 weeks? Because 6 months earlier, someone knew they were going to want peonies in the springtime, so they knew I have to put in the work and I have to plant a seed. Otherwise, come wedding season in the spring, there's going to be some really disappointed brides. So, you know, as I was making these bouquets, God began to teach me about the way that he works. If you want something in a particular season, you've got to put in the work now. How about our uni students? If you want a degree, you've got to put in the study. And so sometimes when God gives us asks us to do something in obedience to him, we can think, yes, amen. But it actually requires you to put action to your faith. The word says that faith without works is dead. So you need to sow. And then how do we do that? We do that, maybe you have a business idea. You need to set up those meetings, that's sowing, steps of faith. Maybe God's asked you to give, or you need to be prepared and give, see that sow that seed of faith. Maybe God's told you that your friend is going to be saved. Well, you start sowing those seeds of prayer, watering it with the word of God, and believe that in due time, that's going to spring up a harvest. But then we can't just start with prayer. We've got to put actions. So maybe that friend, you've got to set up a coffee with them. Start telling them testimonies, sowing seeds of what God has done in your life. Start sowing seeds of my life was this way, but now it's this way. A real life application so your friend can go, I want that. Yeah, we've got to sow seeds in season, and we must put action behind our faith. God is a good God, and it says in the word that when you sow in obedience to God, in Deuteronomy 28:11, it says, God will lavish upon you with good things, children from your womb, offspring from your animals, and crops from your land, the land God promised your ancestors that he would give you. God will throw open the doors of his sky vaults and pour rain on your land in schedule and bless the work you take in hand. You will lend to many nations, but you yourself will not have to take out a loan. God will make you the head and not the tail. You will always be the top dog and never be the bottom dog. As you obediently listen to God and diligently keep the commands of the Lord your God, I am commanding you today. And I love this. It says, don't swerve an inch to the left or to the right from the words that I have commanded you. When you sow in obedience to God in season, you will reap a harvest of blessing. Who would love a blessing harvest today? Amen. You see, that scripture also, it warned us. Because, you know, the thing about seeds is wherever you plant it, it is going to produce fruit. Some of us, we've planted seeds in disobedience. If you've planted seeds in doubt, seeds in wrong thinking, that too, my friend, is going to produce a harvest. Sometimes we can get caught in these patterns of negative thinking. The word says that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If we keep thinking that way, Soon enough, a harvest is going to grow up in our hearts according to the words that we thought that we said. What are you speaking out over your life today? What are you speaking out over your situation? I want to dare you to evaluate your thought and your word pattern to see what kind of harvest you're going to get. If you're thinking life is always going to be this way, my finances are only ever going to be just scraping through, then my friends, you're probably going to reap a harvest of those doubtful thoughts. But when we line up our actions and our words and our thoughts in obedience to God's voice, we will reap a harvest of blessing. But if we keep sowing seeds of doubt, a harvest of disobedience is coming. The word says, again in that scripture, it says in Deuteronomy 28:34 that you'll plant sacks and sacks of seeds, but you'll get almost nothing. Have you ever felt like that? I have been planting for so long, planting so many seeds, trying with all that I have, using all the actions and the works, but nothing seems to be growing. If that's you, I want to ask, get you to ask yourself a question. Is that where God asks you to plant those seeds? It might not even be in a bad thing. It could be into a good thing. But if it isn't what God has called you to do, don't bother planting there. Don't put all of your effort and all of your resources into an idea that God hasn't called you to. Ask the Lord, where do you want me to invest this seed? Whether it makes sense or not, if God has given you his word on it, I dare you to plant it in season, in obedience, and expect that kind of harvest. What other kind of seeds are there? The Bible gives us so many great analogies. You see, another thing with this is, sometimes we end up planting in disobedience because we got tired of waiting in this season. Because you know, the thing about these wedding flowers is when they would have planted those peony seeds 6 months ago in the autumn or the winter, there was a lot of months that passed when nothing was happening. Because the thing about a seed is the most work first happens under the ground where you can't see it. And so I want to encourage you, don't give up on this season, because the word says, don't swerve an inch to the left or to the right. So if it's taking a while to grow, stick with it. Just keep watering it, because the temptation is to step over to this field and start sowing it my way. Well, it didn't work God's way. I didn't see him do what I thought he was going to do, so I'm going to make it happen myself. And although that might be good, the hand of God rests here. God's hand is upon it when you walk in obedience to him. So I want to tell you, don't give up. Maybe your seed is just about to spring up out of the ground. You don't want to be in another field when that harvest that you sowed in starts to produce fruit. Because the Bible says that sometimes you'll reap a harvest that you haven't even sown. I don't want to sow seeds and then never see the fruit. I mean, good for that person that finds that harvest blooming, but stick around for it. Stick around and see what God is going to do. Don't be tempted to walk over here, yeah? Another one is sometimes in life we want to be protectors. And I love that that's wise. That's, you know, sometimes some people would call that wisdom or diligence, you know, keep it close, keep a close account on what you do. So therefore, you actually never sow your seed. You think that by never sowing, it's protecting the seed for something else. But the thing about a seed is a seed will never produce fruit in your hand. A seed must be planted. A seed must come out of your hand, out of your control, out of your grip, and be planted in the soil so that it can produce a harvest. Sometimes we've been hurt in the past and we think, I'm never going to do that again. I'm never going to allow myself to be so generous again. I'm never going to allow myself to invest into that thing because they hurt me. Well, I'm so sorry. We do live with people in our world and in our workplaces, but don't let that stop you. Don't let that rob you from the harvest that you could produce, because I don't want to be someone that dies with all of this seed and no fruit to show for it. Potential is nothing unless you apply it. Amen? Don't be someone that never sows your seed, because remember what seed does? It reproduces. The way to get more seed is to plant it. The Bible says that those who are planted in the house of God will flourish. If you want your seed to flourish, I want to encourage you, put it deep in the soil and start planting it in places where God can use it. You see, the Bible says a lot about this. I love how it says it in Matthew 25. This is the story of the people with the talents. We'll pick it up in verse 24. the master is talking to the talent, the man who was given one talent. It says, he also who had received the one talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid and went and hid your talents in the ground. Here is what is yours. But his master answered him, you wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Then you ought to have at least invested my money with the bankers, and then in my coming I should have received what was mine with interest. So he took the talent from him and gave it to him who had the 10 talents. For everyone who has more will be given, and he who has an abundant, and then he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away, and cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness, the place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Wow! You want to plant that seed, hey? You want to invest that seed into the kingdom of God, because God is saying at least you could have done something with it. At least instead of holding it and protecting it because it's mine, I'm going to invest it into the kingdom where God can breathe upon it, where I can pour my prayers, where I can pour my worship upon that seed. And in due time, in the right season, I will reap a harvest. You know, they say that a cemetery is one of the richest places in the world because it's rich with potential. I don't want to be someone that gets buried in a cemetery and they say, she had so much potential. What about when you were in school and you get a report and it says, Esther has heaps of potential but did not apply herself. I don't want to be someone when they say, she just didn't apply herself. Church, today would I encourage you to apply your seed. Plant your seed. Don't hold it back, because that is not going to produce anything. But would you have the kind of seed that is untraceable? The impact of it, you would have no idea how many lives it might have reached. You know, I even think about these beautiful children that graduated today. What's the impact of their seed going to be? I'm sure that at the age of 5, 6, 12 years old, they've already reached countless people because of the seed that people in this house have invested into them. Then those children go to school and they share the gospel with their friends. Another seed is planted. And there is this beautiful trace of thread throughout generations, because one person dared to say, I'm not holding back my seed, because I know, even though it might cost me something, even though it might make me work hard, even though it might even be a bit painful, I'm going to invest my seed, because I know that is when it is going to produce fruit. Matthew 6:19-21 says, don't keep hoarding for yourselves earthly treasures that can be stolen by thieves. Material wealth eventually rusts, decays, and loses its value. Instead, stockpile heavenly treasures for yourselves that can be never stolen, will never rust, will never decay, and will never lose their value. For your heart will always pursue for that which you value as your treasure. I love this. Don't hold it back, but invest it into the kingdom. And our reward awaits at the end of this race that we're running. Our reward is heaven one day. So let's stockpile heavenly treasures. So we've got planting seeds in season. We've got the seeds we plant in doubt and disobedience. We've got these seeds which just go to waste that are never sown. And then this is the season I want to declare of you today. These are seeds that are sown supernaturally. This is a double portion year, right? So when I plant one seed, I'm getting two back. When I plant one seed, I'm getting a harvest that is untraceable. This is the year that we're in. Every time you come into agreement with the word double portion, you are watering this seed. You are getting ready to receive this harvest. And so with only a few days left of the year, don't you give up on this seed. Keep watering it. Keep expecting it. Keep giving God praise in advance for what He's going to do in your life. God is good. God is faithful. And what I love about God is we've called the year 2017 double portion, but God has given that as a word over our life. Just because we're going to hit January 1, it is still a season of double portion for you. We're just going to keep adding to it. Amen? Yeah. What I love about this is the word says somewhere in Mark 4, it says that seed planted in good soil will produce a harvest of 30, 60, and 100-fold. I love that. Are you expecting a 30, 60, and 100-fold harvest in your life? Are you expecting the seed that you sow to come and be poured back into your lap in a far greater measure than what you poured out? Yeah. You see, now when you compare a seed sown supernaturally and a seed sown, well, never sown, Which one would you rather? I would rather take a risk on my God and sow everything that I have, sow my life, sow my heart, sow my will, my emotions, my finances, supernaturally into God's kingdom, rather than stay here in safety and say, oh, but I just need enough for me and my family. No, sow it, because God can do something supernatural in your life. How does this grow? How does a supernatural seed grow? Prayer, worship, belief, your declaration. Sometimes we just have this belief in our heart, yep, God's going to do it, and that's good. But I want you to activate your faith today. Those things that you've been believing for, those prayers that you sowed as seeds decades ago, I want you to start actively declaring over them. For myself, I love to write the things I'm believing for up on my mirror. So every morning when I'm getting ready, it's, yes, God, my three school friends, they are gonna know you. God, it's been 15 years, but they're gonna know you. I activate my words and I start to remember that God says that your words are powerful, that your words are living and active. And so as I begin to declare God's living word over my situation, I expect a shift. You know, I expect that God, my finances, my bank account may not read the amount that I need to cover my rent and my bills, but God, you are my provider. Your word says that you're Jehovah Jireh. So God, I gave in faith, so I'm going to start pouring my declaration over that seed. You will produce fruit. Bank account, you will come up. Amen? We need to be active in our pursuit of God. We need to be active in what we're believing for. We can't just be passive Christians. Amen? And then what I love about this is then you lay your head on the pillow at night and you rest. And you know that your God has got everything under control. I know that the word says that some will plant the seed, some will water it, but it is God who produces a harvest. So in one sense, this can sound like, I must do this, I must be that. And yes, that is true, but at the end of the day, you also must take a step back and go, God, I did what you told me to do. I sowed in obedience. I sowed in the supernatural. And now, God, I believe you are going to produce a harvest. Amen? And I guess in the same hand, that's a pressure off. That's a, I can trust you, God. You've got this, God. And then when it comes back to mind, you go, all right, God, it's time to pray into that area again. Does that make sense?
Yeah?
I believe that God is getting ready to pour out into our laps. You know, I love how God continues to move in our hearts. You know, I remember I met this little girl a little while ago, a teenager actually, and she'd been missing from our church. Her family moved into state years and years and years ago. But when I was a teenage leader in Planet Kids, I was new to the church. I think I was 16. I used to send her postcards, and she was on my list. I knew her relatively well. Then one day she disappeared. I was told her family was moved into state, right? Her family goes through this really long, drawn out, very sad story. But somehow she ends up back in Melbourne and she ends up living at an apartment on Market Street. And they see the sign, because we just moved into the building, Planet Shakers. And I remember I was in Planet Kids one day and I see this teenager in the back of the room and I don't recognise her. And there's a bit of a kerfuffle happening. And at the end of the service, I approach her and I say, I'm so sorry I wasn't able to talk to you before. Can I help you? And she looked at me and I looked at her and I went, I know you. I didn't remember who she was at the time until she told me her name. And I went, you are that six-year-old that I used to send postcards to 10 years ago. And now you're back in church. I said, how did you get here? And she said, well, I moved back to Melbourne. And I said, I wonder if Planet Shakers is still a church. I wonder if Esther is there, because she used to send me postcards. And then she comes back to church and her whole family gets saved. But you see, what I didn't realize was 10 years ago when I was just a teenager, every postcard that I sent was a seed. Every time I called her on the phone and said, how was school today? It was a seed being sown. And God is true to his word. When you sow it in obedience and supernaturally, he will produce a harvest. So in that season, don't give up and do it your own way. Stick true to what God has told you. Church, what are you sowing in preparation for 2018? Like the flowers, we've got to sow it now so that in due time, they'll be ready to be picked. What are you sowing in preparation for next year? Have you got the dream center in your heart churning again, going, God, this year was good. But what does next year hold? Oh God, this year wasn't my best. Can you give me hope for January, hope for February? Church, I want to stir you today. Where are you planting? Where are you sowing your life? The choice is yours. What kind of harvest do you want to reap? Because you see, the thing about seed is my grandparents, my parents sowed these seeds that I am living in the harvest of. Who are you sowing for today? Maybe it's people that you'll never meet. Maybe you are doing college. You're sowing seeds for the people that you're going to minister to in your workplace. You know, you never know the trace of your seed. But I really would love one day in heaven to be able to watch it like a thread, weaving through generation to generation and say, it's because of my sacrifice way back here. It was because of my mother's sacrifice over here, because of her mother's sacrifice over here, that we get to live in this beautiful blessing of harvest because someone sowed a seed. And my question for you today is, who are you sowing for today? What are you sowing today? And as you sow, are you expecting to reap a harvest? And so today, I guess the response is simple. Would you position yourself, regardless of what your year has looked like, whether it's been the most mountaintop or the most of valleys in the year you've had, would you position yourself to say, God, here I am as a seed. I'm planting my life in your field today, in the right season, in obedience to you. I'm refusing to go a centimeter to the left or to the right. I'm refusing in the end of this year to hold back because I've been burned or I've been hurt. But God, I'm willing to believe that as I plant myself supernaturally in your field, God, that in a due time, I will see a harvest. I might have to wait. I might have to feel like I'm in that season of being underground for a while. But God, as I trust you, you're going to produce fruit. And so church, I just want to keep it simple. What is your response? Would you position yourselves today? Would you lift your hands and say, God, here I am again.
Thanks so much for joining us today. I hope that message spoke straight to your heart. We hope that you have an incredible week. If you want to connect with us, check us out on any social media platform at Planet Shakers. See you next time.